When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, sweet one. I hope you've had a good week. I want to read to you a story. And this story is called Eve's Diary by Mark Twain. And I picked this because I thought it would be interesting to see how her diary differs from Adam's. And it's interesting how they say that men and women do not see things the same way. And so what I will do is I will begin her story. And as I read from her diary, I will have us revisit what it is that Adam had said at the same time, so we can see and compare what it is that happened and how the two of them look at it. Saturday. I am almost a whole day old now. I arrived yesterday. That is, as it seems to me. And it must be so, for if there was a day before yesterday, I was not there when it happened, or I should remember it. It could be, of course, that it did happen, and that I was not noticing. Very well. I will be very watchful now. And if any day before yesterday's happen, I will make a note of it. It would be best to start right and not let the record get confused, for some instinct tells me that these details are going to be important to a historian some day. For I feel like an experiment. I feel exactly like an experiment. It would be impossible for a person to feel more like an experiment than I do, and so I am coming to feel convinced that that is what I am, an experiment, just an experiment, and nothing more. Then if I am an experiment, am I the whole of it? No, I think not. I think the rest of it is part of it. I am the main part of it. But I think the rest of it has shares in the matter. Is my position assured, or do I have to watch it and take care of it? The latter, perhaps. Some instinct tells me that the eternal vigilance is the price of supremacy. That is a good phrase, I think, for one so young. Everything looks better today than it did yesterday. In the rush of finishing up yesterday, the mountains were left in a ragged condition, and some of the plains were so cluttered with rubbish and remnants that the aspects were quite distressing. Noble and beautiful works of art should not be subjected to haste, and this majestic new world is indeed a most noble and beautiful work, and certainly marvelously near to being perfect, notwithstanding the shortness of the time. There are too many stars in some places and not enough in others, but that can be remedied presently, no doubt. The moon gets lost last night and slid down and fell out of the scheme. A very great loss. It breaks my heart to think of it. There isn't another thing among the ornaments and the decorations that is comparable to it for its beauty and finish. It should have been fastened better. If we can only get it back again. But of course, there is no telling where it went to, and besides, whoever gets it will hide it. I know it because I would do it myself. I believe I can be honest in all other matters, but I already began to realize that the core and the center of my nature is love of the beautiful and passion for the beautiful, and that it would not be safe to trust me with a moon that belonged to another person, and that person didn't know I had it. I could give up a moon that I found in the daytime because I should be afraid someone was looking. But if I found it in the dark, I'm sure I should find some kind of excuse for not saying anything about it. For I do love moons. They are so pretty and so romantic. I wish we had 5 or 6. I would never go to bed. I should never get tired lying on the moss bank and looking up at them. Stars are good too. I wish I could get some to put in my hair, but I suppose I never can. You would be surprised to find how far off they are, for they do not look it. When they first showed last night, I tried to knock some down with a pole, but it didn't reach, which astonished me. And then I tried clods till I was all tired out, but I never got one. It was because I'm left-handed and cannot throw good. Even when I am aimed at the one I wasn't after, I couldn't find to hit the other one. Though I did make some close shots, for I saw the black blot of the clod sail right into the midst of the golden clusters 40 or 50 times, just barely missing them. And if I could have held out a little longer, maybe I could have gotten one. And so I cried a little, which was natural, I suppose, for one my age. And after I was rested, I got a basket, and I started for a place on the extreme rim of the circle, where the stars were close to the ground, and I could get them with my hands, which would be better anyway, because I could gather them tenderly then and not break them. But it was further than I thought, and at last I had to give it up. I was so tired I couldn't drag my feet another step, and besides, they were sore and hurt me so much. I couldn't get back home. It was too far and turning cold, but I found some tigers and nestled in amongst them and was most adorably comfortable, and their breath was sweet and pleasant because they lived on strawberries. I had never seen a tiger before, but I knew them in a minute by their stripes. If I could have had one of those skins, it would make me a lovely gown. Today, I'm getting better ideas about distances. I was so eager to get hold of every pretty thing that I giddily grabbed for it sometimes when it was too far off and sometimes when it was but 6 inches away but seemed a foot. Alas, with thorns between. I learned a lesson, although I made an axiom all out of my own head, my very first one. The scratched experiment shuns the thorn. I think it's a very good one for one so young. I followed the other experiment around yesterday afternoon at a distance to see what it might be for, if I could, but I was not able to make it out. I think it is a man. I'd never seen a man, but it looked like one, and I feel assured that this is what it is. I realize that I feel more curiosity about it than about any of the other reptiles. If it is a reptile, and I suppose it is, for it has frowsy hair and blue eyes, and looks like a reptile. It has no hips. It tapers like a carrot when it stands, and it spreads itself apart like a derrick, so I think it is a reptile, though it may be an architecture. I was afraid of it at first, and started to run every time it turned around, for I thought it was going to chase me. But by and by, I found it was only trying to get away. So after that, I was not timid anymore, but tracked it along several hours, about 20 yards behind, which made it nervous and unhappy. At last, it was a good deal worried and climbed a tree. I waited a good while, and then I gave it up, and I went home. Today, the same thing over. I've got it up the tree again. Sunday. It is up there yet, resting apparently, but that is not a subterfuge. Sunday isn't the day of rest. Saturday is appointed for that. It looks to me like a creature that is more interested in resting than it is of anything else. It would tire me to rest so much. It tires me just to sit around and watch the tree. I wonder what it's for. I never see it do anything. They returned the moon last night, and I was so happy. I think it is very honest to them. It slid down and fell off again, but it was not distressed. There is no need to worry when one has that kind of neighbors. They will fetch it back. I wish I could do something to show my appreciation. I would like to send them some stars, for we have more than we could use. I mean, I, not we, for I can see that the reptile cares nothing for such things. It has low taste and is not kind. When I went there yesterday afternoon, it crept down and was trying to catch the little speckled fishes that play in the pool, and I had to clod it to make it go up the tree again and let them alone. I wonder if that is what it is for. Hasn't it any heart? Hasn't it any compassion for those little creatures? Can it be that it was designed and manufactured for such ungentle work? It has the look of it. One of the clods took it back at the ear, and it used language. It gave me a thrill, for it was the first time I'd ever heard speech, except for my own. I do not understand the words, but they seemed expressive. When I found it could talk, I felt a great new interest in it, for I love to talk. I talk all day, and in my sleep too. And I am very interesting. But if I had another to talk to, I could be twice as interesting and would never stop if desired. If this reptile is a man, it isn't it, is it? That wouldn't be grammatical, would it? I think it would be a he. I think so. I would consider it a man and call it he until it turns out to be something else. This will be the handler that has so many uncertainties. And remember, on this day, Adam said, Monday, this new creature with long hair is a good deal in the way. It is always hanging around and following me about. I don't like this. I am not used to company. I wish it would stay with the other animals. Cloudy today. Wind in the east. Think we shall have rain. We. Where did I get that word? The new creature uses it. And that is where I'm going to stop for today. Just so you have time to reflect back on what it is that Adam was saying around the same time. It'll be interesting to see how things develop from her point of view. And now, it's time for you to get some rest. Sleep well. Good night.